Word of God, and let me take you into the Matthew in chapter 4, and let's see together just for a few moments what the Lord would teach us from His Word. We have just about 15 minutes to share here. Let me share with you from this precious Word so that we may take something home with us. I want to share with this basic principle with you. Satan hasn't changed, and we need to understand this. We need to take to our hearts and understand with our hearts, Satan has not changed. If you read the whole of the first 11 verses, you will discover in chapter 4 of Matthew how it is that Jesus is tempted. Now, for brevity's sake, let me condense many comments to introduce this. Satan did not want to meet Jesus. Jesus met Satan. Don't think that Satan came in his great threatening manner and descended upon Jesus. Understand that Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, went out deliberately to do battle with Satan. It was as if he rolled up his sleeves and said, okay, round one. And Jesus went out into the wilderness led by the Spirit of God. Not caught suddenly, not suddenly confronted by Satan, but Jesus went out led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, and there he met Satan. Satan was forced into a confrontation. Now, Satan spends a lot of time avoiding confrontations, because when he is confronted, he then reacts and responds with certain violence. Always. Sometimes we think we have confronted him, but when we have, we surely know it. We know it by the viciousness and by the terror of his presence. Now we must remember that Satan's original rebellion challenged the authority of God. And he's still doing it. He did it with Jesus. He's still doing it. He challenged that authority. He challenged God's right to rule over his created and his creatures. He challenged God's right to be believed, to be obeyed, and to be trusted. And Satan's lie has always been exactly the same. His lie is that he has the right to be obeyed. He has the right to rule. He has the right to be believed. And people get sucked into a sort of vortex of believing Satan. And we must be very careful. We must be as studious as Jesus was at defining the differences. We must be as careful as Jesus was in understanding what went on and what goes on every day. The confrontation had to be settled. It had to be settled once and for all. For two people cannot be obeyed, and two people cannot be followed, and two great personalities cannot influence our life. One must, or the other will. Now understand, this is how Satan works. If you've got your Bible there, turn the pages to the first epistle of John and the second chapter and verses 15, 16 and 17. And you will read in that portion of Scripture that there are three areas that Satan tempts in. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now you can define those in any way you care, but they still come up as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. However you define them, you will find avarice in all of them. You will find greed. You will find the need for ambition. You will find all sorts of ingredients in those three expressions. Satan had to tempt Jesus because in Hebrews 4, and if you turn the pages to Hebrews 4, 15, you will see there that Jesus was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet he was found to be without sin. Where is the proof of that? It is here in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. I'll share it with you. You see, we have to ask three questions. Is God worthy to be obeyed? Is God worthy to be trusted? And thirdly, is God worthy to be worshipped? So Satan came in front of Jesus in this confrontation and he said, don't obey God, obey me. Don't trust God, trust me. Don't worship God, worship me. Satan said those three things. In those three things, you will discover that he was talking of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's turn it this way, and let's understand it this way. When you go into the second chapter of 1 John, you discover in those verses that 15 through 17, there are three gates through which Satan will enter into your experience. He will come in through the lust of the flesh. He'll come in through the lust of the eye. He will come in through the pride of life. Those three things. He has no other methodology. This is his method. It's clearly spoken of in the scripture. It's clear. It's a map. You can understand it. You can read it. You don't need a compass. It's there. Now, every gate was assaulted by Satan to our Lord Jesus. And each gate, he came to Jesus in the same way. He said, look, here is something that I would have you know. You've been 40 days and 40 nights without food. To us in this room, that's an incredible thing. That Jesus was without sustenance, physical meat and bread, for that length of time. Yet if you go to the fourth chapter of John's Gospel this time, you discover how it is that when he had gone to that deliberate place to speak to that woman at Sychar, and he was sitting by the well, his disciples had gone to the village to buy food, and when they came back, they found that he had been talking with this lady, and they brought him food, and these are the words that Jesus said. They said, Lord, we brought you food. And he said, that's okay. I don't need your food. I have meat ye know not of. My meat, listen, is to do the will of my Father. That's my meat. Some of us, if we were to do the will of God, wouldn't have to go on diets, perhaps. If we were involved in that will of God, we would find a sustenance that is from within. And if we were so involved in the will of God and in the things of God, that inner sustenance would surely hold us up. Instead, we find ourselves over bloated as a result of eating too much and not being too concerned with the will of God. Now the tempter comes to Jesus with the lust of the flesh, and he says, look how hungry you are. You must say to these stones, be changed into bread. Once more, if you go into Genesis 2 and verse 16, you'll discover how it is that God says, I will give you the food you need. I will give you the sustenance, the things you need to drink, the meat and the food, everything you need, I will give to you. So Satan was working within the framework of what God had promised. Believe that, ladies and gentlemen, for within the framework of what God promises, Satan invariably works. Now I share this with you. That his working is always terribly dangerous. But he went to Jesus with the lust of the flesh, the great hunger pains, or whatever it was that was in the body of Jesus. He said, look, within the framework of God's word, you can say to these stones, be made into bread, and you can sit down and feast. And Jesus had to rebuke him, and it was a beautiful rebuke. It is written, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You can read it for yourself in Matthew 4:4. There's Jesus' answer. So now he approaches Jesus with the lust of the eyes. He says, and notice how he prefaces his remark, verse 3, verse 5. He says, if you are the Son of God. He is challenging the authority. He is challenging the presence of Jesus. If you are, he says. Now he comes with this lust of the eyes. Throw yourself down. Do this thing. Cast yourself, because he said he will give his angels charge or command concerning you, and they will lift you up within their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What a dreadful thing to be so filled with pride that you can take God's word and misuse it. We find here Jesus' answer in verse 7, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't test God. You don't have to tempt God. You don't have to test God. God is God. And God is real. He holds the whole world in his hand. He holds the tiny wee baby in his hand. He holds you and me, brother, in his hand. God is God. You don't have to test him. He is not some circuitry to be tested out. He's not some piece of machinery to be tested through. God is God. He keeps his word. He never fails. He's always the same today and always. He will never alter. He changeth not. There is no shadow with God. He is all light, all illumination. There is no need to doubt God. And so Satan comes before Jesus and says, can you really trust God to lift you up? Can you really trust God to bear you up on angels' wings? Can you really trust his word that says he will give his angels charge, command concerning you? And the inference is, of course not. The truth is, Jesus turns to him and says, don't test God. But then we come to the pride of life, which I suppose attacks most of us from time to time. And I suppose this gets under our skin and into our souls and deliberately tears us apart. In verse 8 we discover that Satan causes all the kingdoms of the world to pass before Jesus. And listen to these ridiculous words of Satan in verse 9. All this I will give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. Is God worthy of our worship? And he says to Jesus, worship me, it's all yours. And Jesus answers him, for the pride of life is in front of Jesus. He could have had the kingdoms of the world from Satan, whose they were not to give. It was a false promise, and Jesus understood that. But the pride of the average man is such that he could not pass such an opportunity by. One of the great reasons that Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden was simply this, that the Satan went to the woman and he said, don't you want your husband to be like God? And she was so filled with the pride, why, my husband could be like God. Wow, yes, please. Has God said? And listen to Jesus now. In verse 10, he says, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus was attacked the three ways you'll be attacked: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Jesus was tempted in all ways like we are, and was found to be without sin, without sin, without sin. Satan tempts that way. And dear people, you and I must not think that we're immune, but we must understand that he comes to us and challenges us in the same way through those three areas. And it's in those three gates that we must learn to shut the gate quickly, slam the door, and refuse him entrance. Be careful. You've been told. That's how Satan will get to you. He has no other method